Hi, baby. Oh, it's great to... I just got a tape from you yesterday. Well, I guess today is the 24th of January, 1971. It's about 20 minutes after 10 at night. And tomorrow at noon, I got to go to work again. Today's been my day off, and I'll tell you what I did today. On maybe the other side of the tape or anything else. Anyway, I just got your tape yesterday. And, wow, I was surprised to see a tape so soon. But, oh... Anyway, this was a tape that you just called Bob and Lorraine on, in case you've written another since this one, because you've received another tape since the last one that you received when you wrote this tape. You understand? Anyway, and when I was listening to the tape, I took my notes, you know, to answer your questions, because it's not like a letter where you can kind of glance through and pick up the questions later on when you're writing. Tape moves right along, and you have to stop it and glance through, but you can't glance through anything because you got to take the tape off the tape recorder and play the other tape again and then find out the question and then take it off and then put the other tape on it. Anyway, so I take notes when you talk. Besides that, it seats in my mind a lot better, and you're giggling and all that stuff. That's what does it for me in those tapes. Not just the news or... It's just that your happy mood and your characteristics that I love. Anyway, I hope you don't mind my singing, but I got a few pointers for you. Your tapes come in a little different volumes every now and then, like they're not paying attention to how you set your volume, or you don't have your mic at a close to your mouth consistently. But anyway, my tape recorder I use here only tapes at one volume. It plays back at various volumes. The one you got's probably a little bit more expensive, and you got a little bitty needle that you got to keep in the red and so forth, or just below the red. But if that's what you got, then you're going to have to, you know, pay it on. Sometimes on some of your tapes, I had to turn it all the way up on mine, and I still can barely hear you because you're recording when it's really real low. But I can still hear them. I haven't missed a single word. I don't know what I'm kind of crazy here, batting off in the mouth. Anyway, you got your tape yesterday, and you also said you had a package that you mailed the next day. Well, I didn't get it today, but I'll bet I will tomorrow. But anyway, we'll start at the top here. And you talked to Bob Lorraine on the phone, and I think that's wonderful. And I'm glad you talked, and I'm glad that you really like him so well. Maybe this would be sort of our first military friend, you know, so to speak, if we have a long list. But I'm glad you called, and I'm glad you enjoyed so much talking to them, and I'm glad they want to come see us. I'm kind of happy about her being pregnant, too. And I guess, Missy was pregnant, too, so I guess Bob's getting his whole family pregnant. But anyway, 30th of September, it's just almost too soon to tell whether she's pregnant or not, isn't it? It's just the end of January, and she had to been impregnated during January, or the last of December, if the 9 months figure out right. But anyway, I'm happy for them both, and if you're right again, just give them my regards. Anyway, as far as they're moving to Fort Huachuca goes in Arizona, that's kind of way out in the middle of the boondocks, and I have an idea that, if you like that kind of, you know, I like Arizona, but that's down on the other side of Tucson, down toward the Mexican border. I don't know if I'm too big on that, but on his orders to Vietnam, you know, and he got them canceled and is going to Fort Hood instead. Believe me, I think he would have liked Vietnam a lot better. It's nothing over here. It's tough, and it's like it's going to be tough at Fort Hood. Let me tell you, that is way, way, way out in the boondocks. It's about 90 to 100 miles south of Dallas, Texas. It's way out in the desert. It's a tank installation. It's a very sorry place. And, ask Edie, she'll tell you all about it. But Fort Hood is probably the second worst post in the United States, Fort Polk being the first. So that gives you an idea. And also you talked about Nick getting spayed. Well, I'm kind of glad you spayed her, because, like you say, she really isn't a real good specimen of a Great Dane. However, the lady that you talked to, knowing as much as she knows about it, but she's never had the opportunity to breed an unhealthy dog. And it's true that... if Nika was bred, it would take a lot out of her to have puppies. However, the puppies would get what they needed during their pregnancy, which is the reason that Nika would probably become a lot more unhealthy than before, which is a good reason to get her spayed. But I don't believe that you can't you can breed out the disease that Nick has got, because the disease was done by her environment, and it's not in her genes, so to speak. And if she had puppies, they wouldn't be like her, unless she got neglected the same way she did before, you know, before we got her. So I wouldn't sweat the puppies if she got pregnant, but Nick instead. And even though if you could get her through a couple of heats without getting her pregnant, and she can pick up a lot of health, you know, and get her size that she's supposed to get and get her bones all straight away and everything, then I think she could have had puppies anyway. But the doctor is said, you know, she could have healthy, strong puppies, and she's perfectly capable. He's familiar with dealing with sick dogs, whereas a dog breeder probably has never seen a sick dog in her life, because they go through a lot of trouble to keep them healthy. And I'm talking about sick like Nick is sick, you know, fairly really sick, you know, as far as her bones and everything. Although Nick, I think, will, you know, pull out of it real good. Even though I'm, oh, I hurt. Even though I'm mentioning sort of, you know, putting a little analytical mind into what the doctor said and what the breeder said, I think the right thing was done by spading her anyway. So you've got my blessing on that. But when you have two different people give you two different opinions of what can happen, you have to kind of figure out why they did it. And that's what I did, and that's what I come up with. Although I agree that Nika couldn't have a baby right now, you know, have pups now, because it would do too much to her. But I don't think it would be detrimental to pups at all, especially if you kept, the food pouring into Nika, although Nika wouldn't be getting any of the benefit of the food, the puppies would. So anyway, and Ron and Jackie, see, I got a little list here, you know, just like I wrote on the last one. It makes these tapes run a little, in fact, it probably run a little too smooth, because I kind of talk fast. But anyway, just to get the area orientation here, the next thing you talked about in your tape was Ron and Jackie, and they came down to see you, and this and your letter before, really, I hate that you feel real sad when they come over, you know, because you said in the letter that Ron and Jackie came over, and Edie and Richard came over, and they were, you know, all at the same time, and you were by yourself because I wasn't there, and I really, really sorry I wasn't there too, but I can see how you'd feel, you know. You got someone you love too that should have been there with you along and being happy and everything, like Richard and Edie and Ron and Jackie were. And I'm sorry, baby, I really am. But, you know, Ron and Jackie, they're not really in a very high income bracket. And I see where Jackie kind of needs that job real bad, and they're not the type of people to be welfare people, so to speak. And I hope Jackie gets a job. Now, the move to Riverside might help out a lot, especially if Jackie gets a job with people she knows. But getting jobs to the employment agency, they're just working with mass numbers, and they got a filing card system, and when they come up with a job, they thumb through the cards, and whose card has been in there the longest, and who's the most qualified, and everything else gets picked first. And as many people are out of work, I imagine that Jackie could have trouble, you know, finding a job, even non-skilled type jobs like assembly line and, you know, with not really school trained or anything like that. But I wish her luck, and if she moves to Riverside and gets a job, she'll be happier in more ways than one. She'll be closer to you, and she'll be closer to where she knows what's going on. And even though it won't put Ron too far out of, you know, work as far as time goes. But anyway, I just thought I'd give you my happiness and regards. Okay, the next thing I got, Jim's not bored. You know, I asked before about how they're selling, and you just got back and told me that they've only sold the same three that they sold while I was there. And I have an idea, you know. They're going after the gift angle, you know, for Christmas and Father's Day and things like that. You might mention to them, I come up with a pretty good idea. It seemed to me when I was in the Boy Scouts, I learned to tie knots. And you learned out of the Boy Scout field book or the Boy Scout manual, and anyway, it was kind of the thing. I would think that Boy Scouts or explorers, and especially sea explorers, could use a knot board in their club or their post, whatever they call it, post or what, explorer squadron or whatever. You know, there's thousands of Boy Scout, and they're not called posts, what do they call it, troops, Boy Scout troops, and explorer squadrons all over the United States, and a lot of sea explorers everywhere on both coasts, and they work a lot with knots, and you'd have one knot board serving a greater number of people, but even so, you have thousands of these units that could buy one knot board apiece, say as a training. The Army uses them. I can't even think of the word now, but as a training device, I guess. For a greater number of people. The thing is relatively inexpensive as far as a troop or an explorer post would go. And there are magazines that are professional magazines that go along these lines also. And they might not hurt to stick an advertisement in one of these professional scouters magazines, or Seasplorers. And you'd be surprised. Advertising a little bit different, research knot tying in Boy Scouts, and then find out if there's any merit badges or anything else like this to be gained by tying knots, and then use this sort of in your advertisement, and then make it the same typical type of advertisement, but press it as a training aid for a troop or explorer post, and you really you might have a different angle there, and it might sell another knot board or two, but you might find that you got a better market there than you do as a gifts, but. Anyway, that's that. So I got that, but I don't know, maybe they thought of this before. But anyway, the next thing he started talking about was staying in the Army and how, the pay raise and all that. That pay raise is pretty good, but I'm on the downhill side now. I'm on the getting out of the Army kick now, because the job I got, however interesting it was to begin with, has now become slow and boring. I know quite a bit about what I'm doing now, and I've analyzed it, and I'm not really the person I'd like to be. I'm not really the policy maker or anything like that, and it doesn't look like I'll be a policy maker until I get command of a company, which will take a couple of years, or as far as seniority goes, if they're even available one by that time. And or until I make a major and be actually a staff officer, the staff officer, instead of the assistant to the assistant, or BOC operations officer, or whatever. But I'm kind of falling into a routine now that I'm not particularly care for. I know my job now. I'd like to get onto something else, but there's nothing else available, and it looks like I'll be stuck here a while. So it's kind of influenced my attitude towards the Army once again, because I think about, in civilian life, if you show promise and you show you got some real good stuff, and then they don't wait 7.5 years to promote you, because that's when majors are being made out of captains after 7.5 years. They promote you right now, or you go someplace else and try to get a living. And depending on the material that you're made of, you can go up or down and civilian life much faster or much slower, of course, than military life. And I feel I could go faster than I'm going in military life now. I've got my job down. There's a lot of slots for captains around, and I analyze them. I think I can do any of them without any problem. I've never tried command, but I really feel that I could command a company and do a real good job of it. Although I've never tried it yet, and I hope to one of these days. But even so, I think that I can go on to better things now, and there's no room for me. I don't have any place to go until I've, a little bit more senior than I am now. So that's what I've got to say about staying in the Army, even though, the money's good and everything, but you got to kind of like what you're doing before it's really worth any amount of money. So that's it. Now, here I am, only about halfway. Well, I guess I'm a little farther than that through my list, and I'm almost got half the tape done, so maybe I can tell you what I did and everything tomorrow. But the next thing on my list looks like I'm gonna get in shorter tail is Slim Jims. Slim Jims. Oh, I love Slim Jims. Suppose you could send two in a letter? No, you can't do that. You start charging an extra dime postage or something. But I love them, baby. I love them. And even though I'm in Long Bend now, I still cannot get Slim Jims. For some reason, they're not selling them over here like they used to. But Slim Jims, this is the first place I ever heard of them before. It was in Vietnam the last time I was here. And anyway, just keep sending them cards and letters, especially when they got Slim Jims in them, because I love them. I love them. And you might, every time you have a care package or so, you might stick a, five or six in at least, so I can at least have my gorge once in a while. So, anyway, I just thought I'd let you know about that. But anyway, so much for Slim Jims. Boy, I'm all getting awful close to the end of the tape here. I can't really see how much I got left. Okay. Did Jackie get her license? That's the next thing on my list. She went out and practiced in the car, and I assume she didn't ding it, of course, because you would be the first to tell me, I know. But did Jackie get her license? And if so, I can't understand why the state of California requires a driver's license to draw unemployment. I don't buy that. There's too many other ways of transportation, bus fare, walking, and so forth, especially a town as big as Los Angeles where you don't really have to walk very far to get a job. Or you know, as far as you don't live out in the middle of the farm or someplace and you got to walk 20 miles to come to town. It's not like that. A couple of miles a day should do you. And there's no excuse for having a car. So tell the Ronald Reagan, and I don't buy his thing about the driver's license business. But anyway, I'd just like to know if she did get her driver's license and how she likes the car. Kind of selfish. And anyway, I'm going to flip the tape over now, so I'll see you on the other side. And I'll give you a big kiss before I turn it. Okay?